Well, a very pleasant good morning to each one of you. It's a beautiful day. This is the Lord's Day. And the Lord's people come together on the Lord's Day, and we will eventually eat the Lord's Supper. I'm happy to be here. I always enjoy coming to Brownsburg. You've always been an encouragement to me. By standing here in the pulpit, it gives me the opportunity to publicly say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for the encouragement that you give me. Since I was last with you, I think that 2018 has probably been the busiest year that I've had in all of my years of preaching. In January, I was in Aruba. In February, I then went to Uganda and then went to Kenya. In March, I went to Mozambique and then went into South Africa. And I just recently returned then from Europe. I was with the church in Belgium, and then I was with the church in Sweden. I'm now going to be in the U.S. for a little while for some gospel meetings here in the U.S. I will be preaching a gospel meeting in Las Vegas. Then I have one in Missouri. Then I have one in Pekin, Indiana, where that I had lived and labored for 6 years. And so I enjoy preaching, whether it be in Bowling Green, where that I worked with the church there for 18 years, or whether it be at Brownsburg, or be a gospel meeting, or being overseas. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the trip that I made to Mozambique. But before I do that, I do want to insert just a little bit about the trip to Sweden and Belgium and make a prayer request. I am convinced that if I lived in either one of those countries, I would be in prison in less than a month. Those are both socialist countries, and they do not allow discipline of any type. You are not allowed to say the word no to any of your children. There can be no correction. Now, the preacher that I was staying in his home in Belgium, he has been called before the court. And the judge told him, that's warning number one. You don't get a second warning. The next time we will take your children away from you. Your child reported to the school teacher that you disciplined him. If he did not do his homework, he did not get to watch TV. We don't allow that in this country. When I was in Sweden, staying again in the home of the preacher, Saturday night, his young daughter did not come home. Mom and dad did not know. Should we call the police? Should we go to the hospital? Has she been kidnapped? What's wrong? She didn't come home Saturday night. So they said, well, surely she'll be at worship on Sunday morning. She wasn't there. She didn't come home until about 11 o'clock Sunday night. Dad was panicking. Where have you been? She stuck out her finger like this and she said, you know you're not allowed to ask a question like that. And she walked up the steps and went to her bedroom. If your 14-year-old daughter comes home with a boyfriend and says, we're going up to the bedroom, you're not allowed to stop that. If your young son says, I have marijuana, I have drugs, you're not allowed to correct him. Now, one of the preachers in Sweden is originally from India. He is an engineer. He works with the Volvo Motor Company. He has two teenage daughters. And he too has already been called before the court. And he says, Bob, I cannot live here. I cannot raise my children the way that I believe God wants me to raise them under a socialist government like this. And so he's begging me, ask the brethren to pray for him. So I just want to throw that out to you. That's Belgium and Sweden. And so the brethren there do have problems. Now let's switch countries. Let's go to Africa. This was my second journey into Mozambique. Now, some of you that know your history, you know that South Africa Zimbabwe, Zambia, Kenya, Ghana were all under British rule. Mozambique was under Portuguese rule. So naturally, I have to use an interpreter. I don't speak Portuguese. Now, Mozambique was also a product of a civil war several years ago because the communists wanted to take over. And so there was a big fight. Now, even to this day, I was given the warning, Bob, when you're walking on the path, you stay on the path. Do not step 3 feet off the path. There are still landmines out in that field. And almost every week, you hear of another one or two people getting killed. Many times, it's innocent children because the fields are full of landmines. During the Civil War, they would kill one member of the family and then lay the corpse out in the field in hopes that the husband or the wife or the children would go out to claim the corpse, and then you step on a landmine and now you're killed. And so that's the horror of that country. Now, when you look at the map, you can see that it Pretoria, where I have preached several times in South Africa, up here is Zimbabwe, Harare, where I have preached many times. So this gives you the idea of where you are. South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and then here is Mozambique. Now, is that I entered the country into Tete, which that presented another problem for me. I had paid $150 for a visa in order to enter Mozambique, and I filled out my paperwork saying that I am going to Nampula. I did not know the plane was going to land in Tete. That was not on my itinerary. So I filled my paperwork out incorrectly, so they kept that $150 and made me pay it again. I didn't spend any time in Tete other than to change planes so that then I could fly over to Nampula. And so here are my travel companions, two of my buddies from South Africa. On the left, and we get a lot of jokes about his name. This is Robert Buchanan. He pronounces it Buchanan, I pronounce mine Buckhannon. He spells his A-N-A-N, I pronounce mine A-N-O-N. Now he is a native of South Africa, born and reared there. And then Robin was born in Zimbabwe, but now lives and preaches in Cape Town, South Africa. I have worked with each one of these guys on 8 or 9 different trips. Robin even went with me once to the Philippines. I have worked with both of them in Zimbabwe, in Zambia. We've gone to Kenya together. And so we've worked at different places. So these were my travel companions. We met up in Johannesburg, South Africa. And then we got on the plane and flew here to Tete. And then from there then we flew into Nampula. Now when you look at the streets of Nampula, they're not your normal streets of Indianapolis or of Brownsburg. On this particular day, there was rioting going on. There was some looting. There was some fires. There was some shooting. But then we get off of the paved highways, and we take off to where that we're going to be having some of our Bible classes, and people sell clothing on the sidewalks. So if you want to buy a pair of pants, if you want to buy a pair of shoes, everything is available right on the sidewalk. You don't have to go to a supermarket. And you see lots and lots of filth, lots and lots of trash, lots and lots of rats. And so there's uncleanliness galore. Now I want you to look at that street. And I want you to look at how smooth it is. Not. But now, these are some of the better streets. And so I'll show you a moment, one of the roads. We were going to go to one church, and I was told that it was 40 miles. Okay, now try to calculate that in your head. All right, Glenn, if we're going to go 40 miles, how long is it going to take us to get there?
45 minutes.
And it took us 3.5 hours. And I'll show you why in just a moment. Now, we rented this school in order to have our classes. And we divided ourselves up in Mozambique into 3 different locations, and that we taught the same lessons in all 3 locations. We wanted to deal with how do you become a Christian. We wanted to deal with what is the organization of the church. What is the proper worship? What is the proper function and work of the church? What are elders? Are elders different than pastors? And so we had a long list of things to do in 3 different locations, and I'll explain why. Some of you know Skip Seabree. And Skip, I always get Greenwood and Green Castle mixed up. Does anybody know Skip as to where he is? But anyway, Skip was studying with this guy on the internet. And he told Skip, he said, I'm a preacher for the Church of Christ. And Skip started asking him questions, and then Skip turned him over to me. He said, Bob, this is too complicated for me. This guy says he is the regional leader for the Church of Christ in Mozambique. Now, he is the regional leader, and then here is the provincial leader. Now, how do you wind up with something like this? Well, in 1956, there were some sermons preached in Mozambique. There was a missionary. So he goes in and he preaches enough sermons that a whole bunch of people decide that they're ready to be baptized. But guess what? He baptized them and he never returned. And there has never been another preacher that has returned to Mozambique. And so they are so confused and they are so messed up. I dealt with questions. I dealt with issues I have never dealt with before in my 51 years of preaching. Questions that I have never been asked before. Tyler, can a woman partake of the Lord's Supper during her menstrual period? I've never been asked that question before. For the Lord's Supper, fruit of the vine. Tomatoes grow on a vine, don't they? So can we have tomato juice? And some of the churches were. Some of the churches were having the Lord's Supper every other week. Some of them were having the Lord's Supper once a month. And then it's time for worship. And so now the first 10 minutes, all the ladies are going to come up and we're going to have the ladies' choir to sing for us. And then we're going to have the teenagers to come up and they do a choreography. They have a jump and a kick and a clap and a shout. And can you understand some of the problems that we were dealing with? And so we had one issue after another issue. So we started our classes and we told them, don't even bother to come if you're not going to study and work hard. We're going to have 8 hours a day in classes. I said, we've got a lot of material that we've got to cover. And so at 3 different locations, we had about 80 students at this location. The youngest preacher that we had was 60. The youngest one was 14 years old, and the oldest one was 68 years old. But they're all telling us already that they're preachers. But they're everyone saying, but I don't know how to preach. I'm supposed to give a Bible lesson on Sunday, but I don't know the Bible. Out of about 200 students, only 2 of them even owned a Bible. They said, we don't have enough money to buy a Bible. And so we had issue after issue after issue. So here are some of the students when we took our lunch break. And after we ate, we were out underneath the tree here for this picture. There were lots and lots of children, and I love children. And so there were many times that I would preach, and then when I would sit down in order for Robin to do his lesson, one of the kids would come and crawl up in my lap, and I'd hold that kid during the hour. And so this is the preacher that offered the invitation, and then he traveled with me on all of the locations that we went, and he did all of the interpreting for us. We then leave Nampula after several days there, and we drive out in the country roads to go to Rabiu. And this trip was beautiful. God was, the weather was wonderful while we were there, except that it was 110 degrees. And that presented a problem. I'll show you a picture in just a moment. We ran out of water. We didn't have enough food to eat. And we had several, it was the hardest trip. It was the hardest trip that I've ever made. And but God was good to us, and we came home safely. But this was the road then to go out to our next destination. And so we then enter the village. And many of the houses are made from manure. Many of them are made from straw. And so this was the typical entrance into the village. And the brethren have constructed this church building that, if you can imagine the hot African sun, I told you it was 110 degrees, and with this metal roof on it, it got mighty, mighty hot for us there. But this is the class inside this particular church building, and we're repeating now all of the lessons that we had done at the first location. This is a different group of students here. Now, at the first location, I don't know if you noticed when I flopped up that picture, there were only four women sitting in the back. The first location was all men. But at this location, you can see on the left-hand side, you have the women. And then on the right-hand side, you have the men. Now, that is their culture. Men and women do not sit together during worship. And their reasoning, their thinking is, even if you're with your husband or your wife, there might be a tendency to lean over and whisper and to talk. And we're not here to talk. We're here to worship and to study. And so they separate the men and the women. Here were our cooks out back. And we made a joke about this, is that on one day we would be offered beans and rice. And on the next day, we would be offered rice and beans. Now, I'm a country boy, and I grew up in Kentucky, and I have always loved pinto beans. But after 2.5 weeks of pinto beans, we made jokes. Rob, I would give you the money in my pocket for a big green salad. Give me some lettuce, give me some tomatoes, give me some cucumbers, give me some peppers. We thought in a country like this, it would be easy to get watermelons, to get pineapple, to get bananas, to get mangoes. We were having no fruits. We were having no vegetables. And we were drinking about 4 liters of water a day, and that wasn't enough, because at 110 degrees, it was just running through us. This is the product of the landmines. I didn't want to put up the pictures of the little children that didn't have legs and arms. My wife forbid that. But this is one of our brothers. There were 3 brothers that were in the Bible classes that have these little bicycles that they operate with their hands. And you'll see many, many without all of their limbs. When it came time to break for lunch, we didn't have enough plastic plates for everybody to eat at the same time. And so you would let one group eat, and then we would wash the plates. And then the next group would eat, and then wash the plates and let the next group eat. And so you just sit under a tree and you be patient and you wait your turn so that you could get your beans and your rice. Here's one of the lessons that I was doing on the church's role in developing elders. Every man that had been baptized was called a pastor. And they didn't really know what that meant. Just that they know that they'd read that word in the Bible. And so they didn't understand that bishops, pastors, overseers, shepherds, elders were all descriptions of the same man, talking about a spiritual leader and overseer. And so we had to talk about what are the qualifications. And the reason that there are these qualifications, if you understand what the work is. And so we had to talk about what is the work of the church. Now, the older man that I showed you the photograph of that was called the provincial leader, he was like the Diotrephes that the Bible talks about. He went from church to church, and he was the boss man. And he would tell you everything that you're, and of course, all the money that you collect has to be contributed over here into this super pool that he would be in charge of. And so I taught a lesson on the development of Catholicism. And I gave a lesson on how that the problem started by changing the structure inside the local church. Elders are supposed to be equals. But then they elevated one man to call him the presiding elder over these other elders. And then you send the presiding elder to a meeting, and now you elect a city elder. And then you elect a high elder for Indiana, and then you elect a high elder for the United States, and then eventually you wind up with the Pope. That's how it all got started, by perverting God's plan for the organization inside the local church. And so we had to deal with that. This is one of my precious little children. I couldn't fit him into the suitcase to bring him back home with me. But there were so many that were just so sweet and so precious. Now we leave there and go to our third rural area. And this is the one that took us a while to get there. There's a typical road. Some of the roads look like there have been earthquakes. Some of them look like there have been bombs that have dropped. Now, understand is that we're in Africa, so you travel on the opposite side of the road from what you're used to in Brownsburg. And the steering wheel is on the opposite side of the automobile from what you're used to. And so you've got all of that to try to maneuver. And then you've got the fact that half of your highway is not there. And so it takes one person to hold on to the steering wheel, and then it takes a co-pilot to say, whoop, look out, there's a big hole up there, or look out, now we're going to have to veer over to the right, now come back over to the left, and you go back and forth, and we're traveling about 5 or 6 miles an hour, and then sometimes is that we just have to totally stop, get out of the car, and then figure, is there any possibility that we can get over here and get around? And some of the potholes, some of the ruts, if our tire ever got in it, there's no way we could ever get out, because some of those holes and ruts were at least 4 or 5 feet deep. So the roads were not so good at all. And then we finally get into the town here of Moma. And this is Main Street, hot and dusty. There's nothing that is paved here. And you can see a few of the little shops up and down here. And there was no building. We thought we had a deal worked out where that we had rented a building to have our Bible classes. And then when the owner, I didn't know these were white men. So all of a sudden, the price was multiplied times 4. Well, I didn't have that money in my pocket. I thought I had worked out my budget. I thought I knew what the rent was going to cost. And so when he multiplied it times 4, I said, there is no way that I can rent that building. So what are we going to do? Well, God was good to us and it did not rain. So we were able to have all of our classes under the tree. The problem is that about every hour we had to shift our seats to try to stay into the shade. But there were more people than there was shade. And so eventually the brave ones just had to be willing to sit into the hot sun. But this is looking at the class in one direction. You can see students literally all over the place. Here you can see Robin Bauer teaching one of the classes. But here is one of the brothers that always, always, always was right smack up front. And he said he didn't need a chair. He would let some of the other people have the chair. He would sit on the ground. But I want you to look at the clothes that he's wearing. This Christian doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. He doesn't have a change of clothes. But he was usually the first person to get there for the Bible class, and he wanted to sit in the first pew, the first row, not in a pew, but sitting right up front, right in front of where that we're standing to teach. And then he would often ask several Bible questions. He was very, very attentive. Here are four of the little boys that are sharing their lunch. Rice. They didn't have beans on this day. This was just rice. And so they're sharing their bowl. This was the tragedy that happened due to the heat. Is that I was in the middle of my sermon. Rob had been sitting in a chair under the shade right behind me. And I'm preaching and he gets up and I see that he's walking towards the car. And he gets about halfway to the car and then he starts going sideways. And later when we were convinced he was going to live, we teased him about being a bowler. I said, "You knocked down 10 men." And he didn't remember any of this because he was unconscious. And when he would gain consciousness, we would try to sit him up. He'd pass out again. Try to sit him up. He'd pass out again. And the sad thing is, by this time, I have run out of my water. So I told Robin, "You stay here with him, and I will run to town." And so I'm literally running in 110 degrees. So I'm about to pass out now. My clothes are as wet as if you had just poured a bucket of water over me. We wanted to get some sugar. We wanted to get some salt. We didn't know what the problem was. Not being a doctor, I didn't know whether to raise his feet or raise his head. I didn't know whether this was a heart problem because he has had heart difficulties, or whether this was a sugar problem because he does have a sugar problem. So I didn't know what I'm supposed to do. His legs were cramping. When he would wake up, he would scream with pain in his legs. I said, "He's lost all potassium. Let's get some bananas in him." I was trying everything. Couldn't find a banana anywhere. I mean, there were some banana trees off in the distance, so I go over into the area, and they're about that big and as green could be. So I'm going to town. I went to 15 different stalls trying to look for a banana and couldn't find anything. So he was out of circulation for 2 days. I'm happy to tell you we got him back to South Africa. He saw his doctor, and he's doing well now. And then the final location that we went, we had lots and lots of students. And they do something very unusual at the end of services. You do not pass the collection plate. Everyone walks up front and puts their money into the plate that is up front there. And so it was a busy trip. Here is Magi and his daughters, and they're requesting that you pray for them. And let's do that at this time. Our Father in heaven, we often take for granted all that we enjoy in life. We want to pause now to say thank you. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for our freedoms. Thank you for even in times of sickness that we can see a doctor. Thank you for simple things like food and vitamins. Thank you for the opportunity of being here for this worship. We pray that everything that we say and do will honor you. Be with our brethren around the world, especially those in Belgium and Sweden, and these new pictures that our brethren have seen here now from Mozambique. Help them to stay strong and always serve you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.